If you'll go with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I sure do love Holy Spirit and how he flows in every single one of us. And our song that Pastor Jordan had released to us tonight, and Miss Jessie, what an amazing start to the service, because that is the heart of our Father. It is his heart that his son's name would be released into all of our lives, into the lives of others. Amen. It is his will. It is his desire that his power would go forth throughout all the earth, breaking the burdens, destroying the yokes. Amen. And so tonight I'm going to walk down that path, and I'm going to show you what the heart of compassion not only looks like, but how it acts. Amen. Because we've heard a lot about compassion, I'm sure, down the many paths that we've all gone on. Maybe you've heard some messages before, but recently God is just really showing me something about compassion and what his heart is about it. And I know that sometimes in the body of Christ, we can get so in tune with other things going on that we tend to leave off the more important things, which is the will of God, not just for ourselves, but for all those that we come encounter. And so in the last few weeks, we have actually opened up a series with our youth group on the compassion of Jesus Christ. And I say Jesus Christ on purpose because we cannot forget who he is in our life. It's not just the name Jesus. It's sung like how we did tonight, how we sing it. We know that when we say Jesus, we are talking about Jesus Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing. Amen. And his anointing has action tied up to it. So tonight I want to walk you through compassion. Somebody say love in action. So are you ready to get moving tonight? Did you know you were going to come and work out? Well, we are going to do it together. Amen. So Matthew chapter 9, I'm going to read from the Passion Translation, and I will begin in verse 35. Jesus walked throughout the region with the joyful message of God's kingdom realm. He taught in their meeting houses, and wherever he went, he demonstrated God's power by healing every kind of disease and illness. Verse 36, when he saw the vast crowds of people, Jesus' heart was deeply moved with compassion because they seemed weary and helpless. They were like wandering sheep without a shepherd. He turned to his disciples and said, "The harvest is huge and it's ripe, but there are not enough harvesters to bring it all in. I believe with all that is within me, we are in that time. I believe that we're going to continue to hear and see massive loads of souls coming into the kingdom of God. I believe it. I'm seeing it right now. I hope you are too. You're following God news. Amen. Don't be so tied up following the local news that you forget to find out what God himself has said and is doing in the earth. Can I get a better amen? Right? He is moving and he is doing what he said he was going to do thousands of years ago. He's so good and he is so faithful to his word. Amen. So maybe a couple of months ago, I was searching through YouTube, not really searching. I was listening to my praise and worship music. I enjoy seeing the videos while I'm studying or working. I usually have praise and worship or the word going on through my YouTube channel. And as I was going through it, you know how they do the autoplay where the next thing comes up. Something came up that was a song from another, they're called Elevation Worship. And I'm like, oh, this song is one of my favorite songs. So I was like pumped up, you know, at my desk, like jamming out with the Lord. And then I'm like, huh, this is different. I was actually watching a video of a pre-recorded from a live service of a different church, and a church that I never heard, I'd never seen before. And I started praising the Lord with this one song. And then I just got more into it. And I started, this is how I flow, I guess. When I find something, I like to study it out, and especially if it's somebody that I don't know as far as a church, a pastor, I'm not just going to listen to anything. I will do the digging and find out who their pastor is, who their leadership is, and who they surround themselves with. Even if it sounds good, even if it looks good, if they have no shepherd over their lives, say bye-bye. Oh, gosh. If I continue to rhyme, praise God, that's youth group right there. Praise God. usually it's when Paige is in the house, I tell her, Paige, you brought an anointing, girl. You got a rapper anointing on you. We're just going to take it. But that's the truth. If they have no leader over their lives, if they themselves are not plugged into a church, they have no room to speak into my life. Amen. Especially if they are not word of faith believers. because all we do is win, right? Okay, so anyway. So I'm like, I'm focusing on who they are. So it turns out they are actually involved with a lot of the churches that we ourselves are tied up to. But the really cool thing I share that with you about is because the pastor, when he got up after praise and worship, he was welcoming the visitors and letting them know this. He said, in the 39 years that I have pastored this church, I have never seen God do what he's doing right now. And I went, what? Because their worship was so anointed. They had anointed praise and worship singers, musicians, the leaders who followed the leading of the whole. It was as if we were watching Victory Church, KCM. I mean, like the same family. So I was like, who are these people? Where'd they come from? But that's what the pastor was saying. I have never seen God do here what he's doing now in 39 years of pastoring you. So he says, so get in the flow. Get in the flow. Just come with us. Let's see what God's doing. Come with us. And I thought, well, praise God, because we're having some of the same language happen in our own family. And then on another time, it was the same church family there. Another time they talked about how signs, wonders, and miracles were breaking out during their worship sessions, during their prayer sessions. When their family is out in the market, signs, wonders, and miracles are happening, and there is no stopping them because God is so inside of them that all they want to do is get him out. Isn't that amazing? It's not just happening here. He is doing something everywhere who will invite him in. Amen. He is so good. So what is God doing? He's bringing them in. And guess what? We're a part of that. We are a part of that. Somebody say love in action. So like I said, tonight we're going to talk about compassion, and you're going to hear me say multiple times, love in action, because love isn't a feeling. It's a choice, first of all. And yes, feelings are attached to it, but feelings are attached to fear. I am moving you today out of your seat to do something. Somebody say, do something. So what is compassion? This is how I want to tell it to you. Compassion is a heart that's filled with passion. When you just know you've got to do something. Anybody ever had that feeling before? Anita Rose, a new person walked through the door and you didn't want them to be on their own. So you were like, I'm so nervous, but that person has nobody to talk to. You're filled with compassion. Something or someone is moving you to do something. Say love in action. Because it moves from feeling something to actually doing something. It's also putting feet to your feelings. You have to do something with what you feel. Our marriages would not be strong as they are today had we just sat on a bunch of feelings. Boo, you know how I feel about you. Show me! Mine's going to watch this later. You know what I mean? If we sat at home every Wednesday night when we should be in church, Jesus, you know I love you. Show me. Amen? Amen. We expect that from each other. Why would we not say God shouldn't expect that from us? Okay? I'm not talking to y'all because y'all all here, okay? Amen. Y'all go tell the person that wasn't here what's up, okay? But listen, it's not enough to feel something. To have compassion is to be aware of another's distress and having a desire to do something about it. Even if you can't. For example, if you see a stranger on the side of the road and it's pitch black out on that country road and your heart's like, oh, I want to stop and help them. But you know it's really dark and there's nobody around you. Wisdom would tell me, don't stop unless my honey is driving. He's like, I'm going to pull over. We've done that before. But myself, I will say, in the name of Jesus, that's compassion moving me to call for angelic help for them. And to say, one of you cars, stop and help them in the name of Jesus, right? So it's being aware of another person's distress and having a desire to do something about it. Have you ever said, I wish I could do something for them? Right? I'm pretty sure we all have, if not most of us, right? I wish I could do something for them. You may not be able to do something, but you can do one thing, and that's pray for them. No matter what resources you have or don't have, your go-to as a believer, filled with the Holy Ghost, you have Holy Spirit on the inside of you, release him to go do something. Amen. You can't ignore a situation. You're responsible for it because you know someone who can do something. Amen. Somebody say love in action. You see, there are those who see something and do nothing. There are those who hear something and do nothing. And then there are those who do something. Somebody say that's me. To be godly is to be full of compassion. God is full of compassion and slow to anger. But to be like Jesus is to be moved with compassion. If I am full of compassion, I will be moved by compassion. Compassion heals the sick, destroys the fever, lights up the darkness, meets the needs, saves the lost, shepherds the scattered, and brings life to that which was dead. That's Jesus himself. Were we not just singing about him and what he does? Amen. When we sing that song, I think I've shared this with you before, but when that song first came out and we were here, I can vividly remember being in a place that I felt defeated. And I was like, Lord Jesus, I need help. And I hear this song and the water's going like, so bad. My eyelashes actually got stuck together. And I'm like in the bathroom before receiving the offering, like, Jesus, you go, anybody else been there? No? Okay, just me. Right? I mean, for real, that happens. Okay. That first time, that's how that moment was for me. But then we got it together, praise God, and I remembered who I was. I was ahead and not the tail, above only and never beneath. Even though something's coming against me, the greater one lives on the inside of me. And if the devil can't take my joy, steal my joy, he can't keep my goods. So now, I hear that song. And it's like kicking the devil's rear. Take that, devil. That's right. And especially when I hear Jesus for my family. Because then I was singing just for our family. Jesus, I need you in our, you know what's going on, you know? Can we be real for a moment? Transparent, right? But when I hear those words, Jesus for my family, my heart is moved with compassion for you. Jesus, whatever is going on in my family, Jesus for my family, do it, Jesus. When I hear about over the darkness, the chaos, the peace, I see that over your lives. I see you up here in the altar and I'm singing it over you. I'm declaring that over you and with you, amen? Compassion moves you to do something. It also takes your eyes off of yourself. Go with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're going to start in verse 25. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Just then, a religious scholar stood before Jesus in order to test his doctrines. He posed this question, "Teacher, what requirement must I fulfill if I want to live forever in heaven?" And Jesus replied, "What do you read in the law? How do you understand it?" Verse 27. The religious scholar answered, "It states, you must love the Lord God with all your heart, all your passion, all your energy, and your every thought. You must love the neighbor as you love yourself." And Jesus said, "That is correct. Now go and do exactly what you know to do, and you will live." You're right. You know it. Why are you asking me what you should be doing when you know what you should be doing? So go do that. How many believers in the house, consistent believers, only know but never do? We're so full of the word, so full of God's presence, so full of knowledge, but we do nothing with it. Right? It's almost like a believer chit-chatting and posting all day about their walk with God, yet they've not walked through the door of the church. And sometimes they know him really good. I know that was a little hard, right? But it's the truth. They know Jesus really good. Because when I read it, I'm like, yes, amen. Because I know the truth. And it set me free. But they do nothing with it. Let that not be said of us. You're doers. Amen. Somebody say love in action. We know, but we don't go. I'm comfortable. I'm too shy. I don't have enough for them. I can't afford that. I don't know them. They did what? Yeah, girl. Right? Sound familiar? Not us. Maybe our cousins have said that. Right? It sounds familiar. We have to really explore our thoughts, explore our motives, check ourselves out. Because if we're too busy, and Pastor has told us this many times, you can never be too busy for God's people. You can never be too busy. Have you ever, let me just talk about myself for a moment. There have been times where I have been racing back and forth here and there, doing this and doing that. And there have been moments where I've kind of felt a jerk on the back of me. And I'm like, yes, Lord, I have time. They are important to me. They're important to you. Yes, show me what's going on. And I have to take a step back and chill and ask the Lord, what is it? What is it, Lord? Because he's showing me his heart. There is someone somewhere in here that needs him. And if we're too busy about our schedules, if we're too busy about our organizing, if we're too busy about the clubs that we have our kids in, what about him? Because to ignore people is to ignore him. To not have time for his people is to not have time for him. Amen? Well, I just can't go because I have something going on. How about you rearrange your schedule or tell them, hey, I'll show up after church is done, but I have a place I need to get myself to. Right? What's important to you? What do you value? And just a little insight to youth ministry. We're at a place where we're telling them, you've bought into Christianity, but have you sold out to Jesus? You're consumed with everything else that's going on in your life, yet you have no Bible in your lap. You have no word in your heart. You have no power coming out of your mouth. Why? Because it's not personal. You see, Jesus told him, you know everything. Just go do it. Somebody say, I'm a doer. As you go, things in your life will begin to flow. If you're at a stuffed up place where you know something's not right, Lord, what do you want me to do? What was it that I should have done? Oh, thank you for that. And you go back and get it done. Maybe there was somebody that you should have prayed with. Maybe there was something that needed to be said. Amen? Then let's go do that. Let's go do it. It's too late. Hey, Jesus ain't here yet. You got time. Amen? Because if it comes up in you, he's telling you, I'm giving you some time. Here, go do it again. And if they cross your path one more time tomorrow, recognize it. Recognize that move and say, thank you, Holy Ghost. I got it. Right? We can do it. This is what we're called to do. Love in action. It's not enough to feel something. You have to do something. We've got to. You know why? What did we read at the very beginning? The harvest is ready, but there's not enough laborers. I'm calling you out tonight to go into the fields, to go and get something done, to go and pray for someone, to go and show them Jesus, to go and speak life in the darkness, to go and decree, declare shalom over the chaos, to get out of these seats, go through that door into your car and say, Holy Spirit, where do I go today? I'm going to say this again. As you go, things will begin to flow. Perhaps things aren't flowing because you're not paying attention to the right things. You're too busy working in the toil that you haven't gotten yourself over to the rest. Amen. Get in the flow. At prayer yesterday, the word came up from the Lord. The new flow is overflow. And the way to get in it is to get in it. It's to just take it and receive it. Live in it. Breathe in it. Swim in it. Be all about the new flow, our overflow. When you are overflowing, people can't help but take notice. Whether you're overflowing with chaos or the peace, they will take notice. You ever walked into a room full of a heavy day of yourself? You yourself was walking through a heavy day and you walked into a room and everybody went, hey. Right? How's it going? Hope you had a good day. And you were like, yeah, it's good. Anybody will take notice of what you're full of. Anybody will. How you carry yourself tells on you. As a matter of fact, I was going birthday shopping for a special girl. And I walked into, she doesn't know this, I walked into a store. And as I was leaving, I look back and I say, thank you so much. And I was going to make my exit. And this young lady said, she said, do you have a daughter? And I said, yes, I do. I have three of them. And she was like high school. She was this high school senior. I found that out. And I said, yes, I do. I have three of them. She said, is one of your daughters named Jessie? I said, well, yes, it is. You see, when people tell me, is your kid so-and-so? I don't expect bad news. Amen. Even if we're in a bad season, not even a whole season, because that thing's going to be shut down real quick. But you know what I mean? Bad weekend. I don't know. Day, what day? Right? even if it's like that, I will not expect bad news when somebody mentions my child's name. Yes, they are my kid. What you want to say? She said, well, I don't really know her. I've just seen her face. She's a cheerleader at Faith, right? And I'm like, now it's a little creepy, right? People know you and you don't know them. I was like, Siri, is that you? No. I was like, some of y'all got that. I was like, yes, she does. And she said, well, I don't know her. I've never seen her outside of social media. I've just seen her on the Faith page. And I said, oh, cool. Okay. I said, well, today's her birthday. I'm actually shopping for her. And she said, well, I know who you are because you look just like her. She said, I'm familiar with her face and you have her face. And I was like, that's awesome. It's like, praise God. Thank you for that. Yes, she's my girl. Kind of, you know, talked about her or whatever. And that got me today. Are people familiar with your face? And what do they say about that? Are you the one that takes time to be with someone? Are you the one who's a giver and not a taker? Are you the one that can just hold up on a schedule real quick to have some time with your friend? Are you the one that will clear the desk when you're called upon? What do people say about you? About me, right? Because if they see us, they see him. Because the way you live your life is giving other people a picture of what our Father looks like. And our daddy has time for his children. Amen. If you'll get in the flow, things will start to go. Compassion goes where people are, even if it's inconvenient. Do you remember all the people that thronged Jesus? Not when he was just chilling under a tree. It's when he was always doing something for the kingdom. He had a full schedule. His plate was loaded. I'm sure he had all kinds of help keeping him. Let's go. Keep moving. Oh, you're supposed to be doing this at this time. Okay, geez, we're gonna need you over here. Like, he was busy about his Father's business. Even when it was inconvenient. Somebody might step into your office and you are so deep in your paperwork that if you would just put the pen down, pick your face up, and look into the eyes of that person, you could be their answer. That's compassion. Love in action. Yes, I have time for you. Amen. Where you'll need to go may be inconvenient, but guess what? So is cancer in somebody's life. Where you'll need to go, what you may need to say might be inconvenient for your day, but so is death and so is abuse. What say you? Jesus went to the bleeding man. He went to the prodigal son, the woman at the well, the lion's den, the harlot's home. If Jesus humbled himself, so can we. So are you walking by the hurting? Are you devaluing the less thans? Are you giving yourself to all? Because Paul even said this, even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. Religious, non-religious, meticulous, moralist, loose living immoralist, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I like to say, they took on mine. Let me show you a new way of living. Let me show you what victory looks like. Let me give you a glimpse into heaven. Let me be a part of what Jesus has for you. Even if it's inconvenient. He said, I kept my bearings in Christ. But I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view, meaning I had to look at it a whole different way. I had to look at their situation through the eyes of compassion. Jesus, what do you want to do here? What should I say? Ladies, have you ever had like a mom hug? If you greet here, you have that a lot at the door. Because there have been times where I seriously wanted a mom hug. And I'd walk around like, I need a hug. I just need a hug from somebody. And then some lady would just come right up to me and just hold me. And you kind of like lose yourself, like, and she's like, what are you doing? Just hold me. I just need a second. Jesus has those places for us. You are going to be that hug for somebody else. You're going to be that peace. You're going to bring him on the scene. Sometimes they're not walking in peace because they don't even know how to bring peace. They don't know how to say something to the mountain. I questioned our students one time and I said, what would you say to somebody who's talking really bad about themselves, who's bringing their value down, who doesn't see what God sees in them? And somebody shouted out, and they're real confident. They shouted out, your words have power. And I said, they do, but they don't know that. So what would you say to them in that time? Right? Sometimes it takes a few times until you are released to start teaching them. But the first time, no judgment. I have room for that. Why? Because I can so kindly and discreetly, if I need to, change those words. Sometimes they don't even know. But you'll know if you touch them when their shoulders go right back up. When that head comes up just a little bit more. When those eyes start opening. You'll know it. And they'll know you. That's the person I can go to. That person won't beat me down. They won't kick me further in the dirt. They're going to bring me up. That's you. Amen. So Paul says, I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those so that they can meet God. He said, I don't just want to talk about it. I want to do something about it. I don't want to keep talking about it and have no fruit showing up. If someone once said, I've never seen the sick healed. When did you pray for a sick person? I've never raised the dead before. When was the last time you prayed over a dead person? That sounds pretty funny, but it's true. Not even over their coffin, but at home where you know something has happened and you didn't settle for death. Oh no, Jesus, you bring them back. We're on the victory side, right? You're in faith about it. I don't want to talk about it. I want to do something with what I know. I want to release Jesus into the scene. Number two, and I'll close with this. Take notice. There are so many people crying out for help, but you can't hear their sound. There are so many people walking around defeated, and they won't say a word about it. And you don't need somebody telling you. I would say you don't always need someone telling you. Oh, would you pray for me? You're gonna have to trust Holy Spirit inside of you. He'll tell you. He'll lead you. He'll show you the way you should go. He'll give you the words to say. But you've got to do something with it. So recently I heard this testimony. Amazing. There's a lady at a, not here, but somewhere else at a local restaurant. She was a waitress and she had brought somebody up to get to the hostess. The hostess was going to seat them at the restaurant and she overheard a conversation between a gentleman and who turned out to be his sister. And she's, the family is talking about this gentleman because they were at this certain restaurant of his choice to have his last meal. Because he knew any day now he would be gone. He had a cancer that just took over his body. They basically released him to go do whatever he wanted to do. And that was his choice. He called his family and said, I'm ready to go eat. So he was going to eat everything he possibly could because he truly believed that was it. So the waitress is overhearing this conversation while they're waiting for a table. Somewhere between, I hear the dip to the sip. You know, like Jesus turned the water into wine. When I was young, like Jesse, we were taught that way, from the dip to the sip. Hey, okay, anyway. That's what I heard. Lord, you move so quickly. He moves so quickly. It's us that's hesitating. No more. Amen. They go to the table. He's enjoying the meal. The mom is with them now. It's his mom, his sister, this gentleman. He was probably, I want to say, maybe in his upper 40s. Older son. And the mom is asking him, Mijo, did you enjoy your dinner? And the waitress hears that and she leans in and she says, excuse me, but did you say that this was your last meal? And he said, yes, ma'am. And tells her the whole thing again. She said, well, I have a question for you. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? He said, no, I don't. She said, well, let me introduce you to him. Told him about Jesus and said, will you pray with me and ask Jesus to come into your heart? He said, yeah. So they prayed and he got saved right there at the restaurant table. But that wasn't all. You see, even when it's inconvenient, the hurting is at your work. They're at the schools. They're right there in front of you at the HEB checkout line, number 5. They are there. Well, I got to get my groceries up. And what about the life in front of you? Now, you know I'm not talking to you, right? I'm talking to people that aren't here. Right? So she said, can I pray for you? Yeah. So she did. And she prayed healing over his body. She commanded that dead thing to get off of him and for life to grow back on the inside of him. That every working thing in his body would recreate itself. That it would not end in death. Have a blessed day. Thank you for letting me pray with you. And she went about her business. But first, she was about the kingdoms. Didn't know what happened after that, except for I think maybe 2 months later, short time frame, they're in the restaurant and they went seeking for her. And when she came up to them, their brother, that girl's brother, was right there. And he said, I just came back to tell you thank you. Thank you for praying for me. I'm healed. I'm well. My liver started to regrow. It started to recreate itself, and the doctor said, I'm going to be just fine. Demolished darkness. Destroyed the chaos working in his body. Even when it's convenient. We think these lifely issues are so inconvenient. But I want you to think about that from now on. So is cancer. If it's taking life from them, why would I be okay with praying for them tomorrow when I knew I should have done that today? Why would I be okay with somebody getting a death sentence over an illness, a disease? Why would I be okay with a young child saying he or she wanted to take their life? Why would I say, I'll pray with you? I'll pray for you before I go to bed. Those days are over in Jesus' name. You, the church, we, the body of Christ, are going to rise up. We are going to take back all that the enemy has stolen. And we are going to show darkness how good our God is. And from this day forward, I declare over you that when you walk into the buildings, when you walk in, even into your car, When you walk into the mall, when you walk onto the construction zone site, when you walk into other people's houses, those devils are going to see you coming and they're going to know power just walked in here. Speaking of, you can do this because you're full of power. You're full. How God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power. How he went about doing good and in particular curing all who were harassed by the devil, who were oppressed by the power of the devil. Why? Because God himself was with them. Greater is he that is in you than he that is coming against you, than he who has risen up amongst them. Greater is he that's in you. When you see cancer, you don't run from it. You run to it. And you say, oh, I'm fully aware of you. I am fully aware of what you're trying to do. But guess what? You know who I am. And you know who lives on the inside of me. You want to go? That means you want some of me. And they won't. Because I don't only know who I am actively living in it. I am doing something with what I know. I am moving with who I know. Compassion is love in action, and we will go from just feeling something to doing something for God's kingdom. You know why? Because the harvest is ripe. It's time. Jesus is coming, and there's not a single person that he wants left here in the earth. And if you have a hard time getting people saved, telling them there is a Jesus, there is a God, there is a healer that's come for you. There is a rescuer. Not everybody's called to go to a harlot's den. Not everybody's called to go to the pig's pen. But there are some of us who are called to specific places, and you say yes. Stop ignoring the call that's on your life. Stop letting shame and insecurity tell you no, you can't go. Oh, you want to bet? You get back into the place God has for you. Open our mouths and say what Father says to say. You will see what he said he will do. Yes. It's not up to you. You're the conduit. The power flows through you, through your obedience. I heard somebody tell me today. I say tell me, it's personal because it was. It's not that God needs us, but he wants us. He wants us a part of the plan. We are. Amen? Be moved with compassion today. You know why you're moved? Because you're already full of him. Now just let him loose. Let him out. And let's change lives together. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you that we are full of compassion. And because we're so full of you, Lord, we thank you that in faith, Father, our faith in you, our faith, Lord, the faith of God moves us to act, Father, moves us to do what you want done, moves us to say what you want said in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I take authority over every foul thing that might have attached itself to our bodies, to our thought life, to the words we've been saying over ourselves, to our finances. Wherever those situations are, I say shalom in the name of Jesus. And I say light be and darkness flee. I say accounts come up in Jesus' name. I say bodies be made well in Jesus' name. Minds be renewed to the word of God. You will think like your Father thinks. Where the lonely are, Father, you know exactly where they are. I thank you that you are their comforter, that your wraparound presence right now will consume them so tightly that they will know that God is with them. And I thank you, Father, for your great name. You are Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory.